May he who began a good work in you continue it on to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 13. We've been there for a couple weeks now. This is the parable chapter of Matthew's gospel. We pick it up at Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Once again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the ruler of the Lord's kingdom, at God's right hand, ruling all things for the good of his church, dearly redeemed disciples. It's almost comical how often people will mention this secret book that's out there that every pastor supposedly has on his shelf. And when it comes time for a sermon, he can go to this little book and pull it off the shelf, and there's the sermon all set, written, ready for him. You think there's a book like that? Actually, there's tons of books with sermons in them. And with the internet the way it is right now, you could do a search and find sermons on every subject imaginable. And it would save a lot of time, you know, so that you could only work one day a week and you know, the story. But it would be a disgrace in our synod. It would be an absolute disgrace in the Wisconsin Synod, where we have set up this God-blessed preparatory school worker training setup, where we start in high school with students, where they all have to take Latin. The future pastors that at that time think they want to be pastors, even in high school, you get into German or Spanish at this point. And by the time you get into college, you have to get into Greek your freshman year, take 4 years of college Greek, start Hebrew junior year. By the time you're done with college, you've had five languages counting English. So that in the Wisconsin Synod, by the time you get to seminary, you're prepared to work in the Old Testament in God's original language of Hebrew there, and in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit's heart language of Greek. We can study God's word in the original languages, not like just somebody who says, "Well, I know Greek or I know Hebrew," and then they do these word studies on the internet, but actually know how things fit together. That was the fascination of summer school all these years that this congregation has supported my going, and that was not this last week, but the week before, to go and study Titus and Philemon with a professor who knows this every word in Greek, and with fellow pastors who know that language too. You just would be amazed at the applications to real life ministry that come out of the Holy Spirit's own words. And it's such a blessing to have this training. Just personally, I love this, because there are things there that you can't get into a sermon or a Bible class or in all your counseling. Some of these are just treasures for your own heart. And to be able to come week by week and to share this in a new sermon every week that comes out of the Holy Spirit's own original, it's an awesome blessing. It's a wonderful blessing to have this worker training system that we support with two preparatory schools, one college that's here in New Ulm, and our seminary. What blessings. And now when you come to these parables like this, and we sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then gives us three parables, to be able to look in the original is especially helpful. Because the kingdom of heaven is like, we're not talking Southern California, Valley Girl, Surfboard Boy, like this, like that. No, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. That same summer school, the professor who was teaching the class on preaching refreshment talked to some of us guys that have been through these texts quite a few times. This is at least the second time preaching on this text for me. How do you keep these things fresh? He told us something that I had not thought of before that's really helpful in this text. Every parable that Jesus taught has a particular meaning that's unique to that parable. The Holy Spirit repeats himself again and again, but not in empty redundancy, not just saying things over and over again in a boring way. The Holy Spirit, as God, in perfect, unlimited wisdom and knowledge, says things over and over again, but there's something unique to every parable. So this professor suggested that when you look at a parable, do this in your own reading too, when you're reading your Bible at home, look at the parable and say, what is different about this, that's special about this parable that you won't find in any of the others, in the whole Bible? The better you get to know your Bible, the more you'll be able to do this. But you could do it right here in these three parables. What's unique about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure? And it's different than the two parables that follow. Your list might be different than mine, but here's what I'm thinking about this. Let's say that you are the son or the grandson of a pioneer farmer. Our member is not here today who has told these stories before. Some of you have heard them about hooking up the team of horses in South Dakota to the plow and actually working the fields with animals. Some of you may remember that, or you've seen it at least here in our country. But let's say that you're the son of a pioneer and you are the first one to ever get a mechanical tractor in your county. So when you get that tractor hooked up to the plow, all your neighbors are over there to watch this because they've never seen this before. And you're feeling pretty good about this. You got the tractor all hooked up and the plow is out set to go. And you're just whipping off down that field because this is at least twice as fast as the horses could pull that plow. And everything is going fine. And then suddenly, just barely underneath the surface, the inevitable rock. A big one catches that plow so hard it rips off the rear end of your tractor and demolishes the plow. You just discovered why they invented the shear pin. A few weeks ago, one of our members mentioned that after a sermon. I can't remember why he thought of that in the sermon, because I hadn't. But the shear pin is one of those things that we've got them in cotter pins and all sorts of machinery where it's a lot cheaper to replace that pin than the whole implement, right? Or the whole machine. Because sometimes you hit things by accident. Is that the way you discovered the kingdom of God? Most people come to church for social reasons because somebody invites them or somebody insists that they go or they keep on inviting them and then somebody says, good grief, they'll never give up on me, so I guess I'll go because I'm getting, you just tire them out with the invitations. But finally, they go. And then it's like hitting a rock, or maybe more closely to Jesus' parable here, like hitting a huge chunk of gold. Now imagine this worker, we don't know, he must be a hired hand because he doesn't own this field. He's working somebody else's field, and somehow he finds this treasure. Maybe he was plowing and the plow turned it up, or he's walking through the tall grass and he trips over it, but he finds this treasure there, and it's in somebody else's field. What do you do now? Well, you know what he did? He went off quietly. The word in the Greek, you wouldn't see this in the English, but he's making sure nobody notices because he can barely contain his excitement. He doesn't want anybody to see this. But he goes off, sells everything he has, gets down to the titles and deeds office, and he buys that field because he wants the treasure in the field. It strikes me that quite often even your life in the kingdom of God is like this. There's a whole lot of field that goes along with this. It's the treasure in the heart of it that you really want. But sometimes there's other things involved. Sometimes that comes up when people get involved in the church and they finally realize in real practical terms that we really are a hospital for sinners. That we're only righteous by faith in Jesus, and day by day we are deaf, dumb, blind, and dead by this old sinful nature. And you start seeing that, and the closer you get into ministry and the more you start to work with people, the more you realize that, yeah, we really need help. We need the Lord's help for wisdom and energy and strength to do what's pleasing to Him. And I tell people like that, welcome to the ministry. Look at Jesus and His disciples. You get this whole field along with this treasure. Maybe your marriage, it may be your job, it may be having to go to school, but the kingdom of God is within you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And when you've seen that treasure, it is absolutely worth everything you have. And if you haven't discovered that yet, maybe it's time to trip. I don't know. Get the plow in the ground and find that treasure, because it's so vast and awesome, it's worth the time. I think of it in terms of the Bible information classes like we're doing on the Super Saturdays now. How many pastors have told me the same thing, that people have not been in the Bible before. They might come to that, like one woman who came up to me after the seventh or eighth lesson, and you can just see it in their eyes. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is working there, and they're conscious of this. This woman came up to me after lesson number seven. She said, "Pastor, I started this class for my husband. I'm going to finish it for me." See what happened? Tripped over the treasure, pulled it up with the plow, whatever. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like hidden treasure and like a pearl of great price. Now you look at that initially and you think, well, that's the same lesson in the same parable. Wrong. Bong. It's not the same. The Holy Spirit has a different lesson for us here. Quite honestly, until that professor told me to look like this, I had not seen it before. What's different about the hidden treasure versus the pearl of great price? Did you figure that out? It's the discovery. That's one thing at least. You might think of something else. But look at the discovery. In this case, he's looking for the kingdom of God. Looking for the treasure, as some people go looking for the kingdom of God. As the Lord Jesus says it, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. There are times when people come to church or come to religion, the Christian religion in the Bible, and they have all sorts of other reasons. They might think it's a good business decision to just know these rather intelligent people with good jobs and good income, and maybe that's a good reason to go to church. And it's looking at Christianity, at the faith, as Paul said in one place, as a means to financial gain. That's what this man was looking for, that pearl of great price. He was looking for the pearl that no one else had. He was planning to get it, most likely to sell it. He's a merchant. But look what happened. I think the ladies here can maybe appreciate this better, unless we have men that deal in jewels. But when he found that pearl, you know what happens? It's all theory before that. But when he held that pearl in his hands and he looked at it, this one's not for sale. I mean, it's for sale now, but after I get it, won't be for sale. He went off and sold everything he had and bought that pearl for himself to keep it. It's the way the Lord says that there are those who have heard the gospel. They hear about the kindness and love of God. This God of the Bible is awesome and unique and wonderful, that he would give his son. He doesn't tell the people to go off and sacrifice their sons in suicide bombings to maybe get into heaven and the 70 virgins and all that stuff. This is the God who gives his son on a volunteer rescue mission to bring us to God. And when you discover that, even if you were looking for something else, and you hold it in your hands, it's worth everything you have. You know an example of someone who did that? Don't think too hard. It was the Old Testament lesson today. God gives you a blank check. Solomon, ask for whatever you want. Most of us, typically, it's natural. Long life, win the lottery, something cheap. Right? By God's standards. And Solomon asks for a heart with ears. A discerning heart. Lord, I'm just a child to rule this people of yours. Give me a discerning heart. Literally, it's shama lev in the Hebrew. That means the heart that listens. So that I'll know right from wrong and know how to judge this great people of yours. For they're a vast people, and how can anyone do this unless they have a heart with ears? Now, what in the world does that mean? The Holy Spirit will tell you. You look it up in 1 Kings chapter 3. Is that where it was? 1 Kings 3? The next story. You know this story. If you know your Bible at all, you've heard this before. It's the example of Solomon's wisdom and his hearing heart, his heart with ears. Two prostitutes come into his courtroom. Remember that? Two little baby boys. One is dead, the other's living. The one prostitute is angry and screaming that the dead baby's hers, the living baby's mine. She laid out on the weed. You know, there's that story that goes back and forth, and you just imagine Solomon patiently listening to this with his heart with ears. Do you remember what he said they should do? It's one of those, this comes down to us through the ages. Even people that don't know the Bible will know this story. This king actually said, cut the living baby in half and give them both the half of it. And you hear that and you're horrified. You know, this is why the Bible shouldn't be in libraries, because look at what kind of verdict this Israelite king, what a cruel thing. And they missed the point entirely. He knew very well they would never have to carry out that order. Because the mother's heart could not allow this. And she cried out, no, don't kill the baby, let him live. And Solomon said, that's the mother. Give her the baby. Made this ruling of justice for prostitutes, justice as Jesus would give in his kindness and his love for the outcasts of society and the lepers and all that, God's justice and kindness to them with the heart with ears. Solomon had that from the Lord. Because he had this kingdom to rule, and he realized this earthly kingdom is not the same as the kingdom of heaven. And he wanted God to rule in his heart and give him the heart with ears. Apply that to your daily life. There are times when the engineers among us, you know, you need to apply the numbers, or you're a CPA or whatever that work may be. You're doing your finances or whatever, and you got to put the facts all together. But wisdom is not just knowing those facts. It's living in the fear of the Lord with God ruling in your heart according to his word and making decisions based on love. The love of Christ. We love because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And he's given us a heart with ears. A hidden treasure? A pearl of great price? Where in the world does this fit in? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. You look at that and you say, how does Jesus get from point A or point B to point C? You know, how does this fit together? All of a sudden, the picture changes. What unique lesson does he have in the fact that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down? Well, it's not like the net that you use over the edge of the boat when you've reeled the fish in and you're just getting... This is a broadcast net. You can still see them in many parts of the world where the fishermen throw the net out there and then there are weights on the far end of the net and they just... Or they drop it in the boat and they drag it out and then they start pulling that in and it envelops all those fish. Some of them good, some of them bad. Minnesota, there are some fish that you don't want to eat. Right? There are some that are pretty good. So it brings in all sorts of fish. And I doubt that any of those fish got up that morning and drank their guppy juice and had their fish and turf java or whatever it was and said, you know, today I want to get caught in a net. No, they were in the net, swimming that way, no way to go. Swam the other way, no way to go. They're swimming up, they're swimming down, they're swimming back and forth. You cannot escape. the kingdom of heaven. In a sense, nobody goes looking for it. In a sense, the kingdom of heaven finds you. And those fishermen in this parable, much like Jesus' parable that we heard last week, the weeds and the tares, the weeds among the wheat, those fishermen are the harvesters, the angels who come on the last day, and they separate the good fish from the bad, which in the Bible means those who believe and have the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus, and those who are bad because they reject the righteousness of God in Christ. That net is coming in. You can't just say, I want nothing to do with God, and then escape, because the net gathers everyone, whether they want to face their maker and creator or not, because none of us do by nature. Adam and Eve ran. They tried to hide from God. We do too. But what happens? God in his mercy tells us about his son that came to live and die and live again for us. All the badness washed away, the sins, the impatience, the greed, the materialism, all this filth, this mud of sin, this muck that we walk through day by day that picks up on our boots and on our clothes and it makes us stink like you've been in a barn. It's part of what's in your mind and your heart and you hate that sin. How will you get rid of that? Except that the Holy Spirit by his word and sacrament cleanses that all away. Covers you in God's righteousness with that word-powered water, and you're clean. In God's sight, good. What a blessing to know that the net has gathered you in. And when you know that second lesson that we heard today, all things work together for good to them that love God, where God works in all things for the good of those who love him, who are chosen according to his purpose, isn't it a blessing to be able to think, I'm caught in God's net? Psalm 139, one of the most intimate of the Psalms. Read that one. Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you're there. If I go to the far side of the sea, you're there. I cannot escape from the Spirit of God. Martin Luther, in his small catechism, caught this, if you remember, in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Remember? Insights that the Lord gave him through the Scriptures. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, comes indeed without our asking. It comes certainly even without our prayers, also to all the wicked. But we pray in this petition that it will come to us and to many others. Now, how is this done? The answer from Scripture is, and it's in the small catechism, when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live a godly life, here on earth and forever in heaven. The kingdom of God is within you. Christ ruling in your heart by his holy word. What an awesome blessing to be caught in his net and to know that that day will come, this time of grace is ending, there is a limit, the angels know when the net is full. It will be this way at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, hell is real. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things, Jesus says? Literally, that means if you put two and two together, you made the connection here. And then like another parable, he wraps it up. They say, yes, he said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Those of you who have known the Lord Jesus as your Savior all your life, that were blessed to grow up in a Christian home where you had family devotions and your parents from little on taught you what this means, that Jesus is your best and truest friend. As you could learn to read, you got into your Bible and you're still reading it today, and you're finding over and over again, isn't this true for all of us? And isn't it true when we get to preach it or to tell others around us? That you're bringing out of this storehouse these old treasures that are forever new. These truths of God that are so wonderful to go back to again and again like your favorite candy. Or like that special microbrew you only get out when special friends are over, you know what I'm saying? That favorite. That's what some of these passages are like. These stories. Earthly stories with heavenly meanings, historic facts that the Lord gives us of his love for all people. They're old. But they're sweet. They're so life-invigorating. and then the new things that you discover was there all along. It's not like we're inventing it or you have to think of it. The Holy Spirit puts this in your mind and heart as you study the Word and shows you how this applies to your everyday life. And whether you're young or middle-aged or old, you're looking at these wonders and thinking, this really is the living Word of God. It's forever new. It's always teaching me new things, and maybe somebody else knew about this before, but it's new to me. And what a wonderful discovery. New treasures as well as old, all in the kingdom of heaven. And what can you say? Except, Lord Jesus, it's like a hidden treasure. It's like a pearl of great price, and those who seek me will find me when they seek me with all their heart. It's like a net, and thank you, Lord Jesus, you've caught me in your net. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen.